Psalm 72, the verse 8. We'll read verse 8 down to the verse 15. He shall have dominion also from the sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spur the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. He shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. This is one of those psalms that is called a coronation psalm. It's a psalm that particularly belongs to the king, and it was written at times, perhaps a coronation times, perhaps an anniversaries of coronations, when a new king came, perhaps different times, but it's related to the king, to David and to Solomon. This one is called a psalm for Solomon. So it may have been written for Solomon at the time of his coronation by David. But you'll know that, of course, what is in these psalms is way beyond an earthly king. That none of these psalms really find their fulfillment in David or Solomon. They couldn't possibly. There are things that are said in them that are beyond earth, heavenly. And there's another king in these psalms. They're messianic. Psalm 2 is another example. Psalm 45 as well. And this psalm, Psalm 72. Christ is the subject of this psalm. He's a king. You'll see in verse 8 that he is the universal king, that his dominion is from sea to sea and from river on to the ends of the earth. His kingship is over all places. I mean, literally that wasn't in David or Solomon. This, the only one who can fulfill this is Jesus Christ. He's king of kings. Over all places, from sea to sea, it says here, and from river to the ends of the earth. Not only over all places, but over all peoples. The tent dwellers in the wilderness, they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him. Even his enemies shall lick the dust. He's king even over his enemies. Everybody has to submit to the reign of Jesus Christ. Even those who don't want him to be king, he is king over them. He reigns over them. He will dispose of them as he pleases and judge them at the last day too, because his kingdom is universal over all places and all people. That's a fact. He's been exalted a king at God's right hand over all the earth. It says there that the kings of Tarshish and of the isles, the far isles, shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts over all places, over all peoples, and over all kings. Because it says there, the kings shall come, and then verse 11 it says, yea, all kings shall fall before him. Every knee will bow, every king. There's no exception, all kings will fall before him. So he's king of kings. And so he is. That's what the Bible calls him, king of kings. You know, kings are mighty men on the earth, and they make you tremble in fear. One of the kings who certainly made men tremble was King Henry VIII of England. And he had many chaplains, and one of his chaplains was a man called Hugh Latimer. And one day Hugh Latimer was preaching in Westminster, and he was told the king is coming, the king's present. And of course, there's people always quick to tell him, now you have to watch what you say, Latimer, the king's there. And whenever Latimer was preaching his sermon, he was sort of quoting these men, and he was going, "Latimer, Latimer, Latimer, be careful what you say, the king of England's here." He said that, and Henry's there in the midst. I says, no, that's wrong. "Latimer, Latimer, Latimer, be careful what you say, the king of kings is here." And that's true. And that fearless man, he preached, and he told the king what he needed to hear. The Lord Jesus is the King of kings and all kings. He's the universal king. All kings will fall down before him. He's not only a universal king, he's a gracious king. Because it says there in verse 12, "He shall deliver the needy when he crieth." Now, what kind of king is this? The king works among nobles and princes and hardly sees the needy and the poor and needy. If they get into their presence, it's a difficult task. And when they do come in, they have to come in trembling, fear and trembling. Or hardly look at the king, or else not take away their eyes from the king, whatever the format of the day is. They come trembling. But here, this king hears the cry. He delivers the needy when he cries. The poor, and him that has no helper. Oh, that was us. And our king did that. He delivered us when we were needy. We cried, and we're poor, poor sinners. And we had none to help us. No helper. But Jesus Christ is a gracious helper. He's a gracious king. He shall spur the poor and needy. He shall save the souls of the needy. That's what our king does do. He saves. He saves the souls. He saves the souls of needy sinners. He's a gracious king. He shall redeem their soul. Isn't this biblical language? This gospel language? David and Solomon didn't do this. Save souls. Redeem souls. This is only fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He saves, he redeems. He's a gracious king. Our king. Our king of glory. He saves, redeems. Redeems from deceit and violence. And our blood is precious in his sight. So he's a gracious king. And he's a universal king. But lastly, I want you to notice, he's a loved king. It says, "He shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised." Do you see how his subjects respond to his reign and his graciousness? The expression, "and he shall live," is something that people said whenever the king came to the throne. "Long live the king! King live forever," so on and so forth. And this is expressing their desire. The king shall live. Let the king live. And Jesus Christ is the living one. And we wish him well, and we desire him to live on. We're glad that he lives in the power of an endless life. And we say, "Long, long live our king. Let the king live forever." So, that's how his subjects think about him. And of course, our Lord Jesus has died for us. We remember him around the table. And we're glad that he lives forever. And we're glad that he's glorified. But also, his subjects bring, not only do they give that tribute, but they also bring things. They bring presents. "To him shall be given of the gold of Sheba." They give the best thing, gold. And they give the best gold. The gold of Sheba. That's what they do. His subjects give the best. They give him the best. Because he deserves the best. The best of their tithe. The best of their tithe. Whatever. They give him. They give him their offering. They give him their tribute. "To him shall be given." And you know, we give Jesus the gold of Sheba. We give them our tithes and our offerings. We bring them into the storehouse. We give them to him, you see. And he rewards us accordingly, as we do. We give him of the gold. But we don't only give him our presents. We give him our prayers. "For him shall prayer be made continually."
contender. And we pray for his kingdom. We pray for his glory. We pray that his souls will be drawn to him. Pray that his name will be magnified. Pray that his cross will be uplifted. And we do it continually with this heart desire. Because he's so good, so gracious. He saved our souls, he redeemed us. And we give him, and we pray for him continually. And we pray through him too. There's nobody else. He's our mediator. And we pray continually. Continually. But we don't only give him presents and give him prayer. We give him praise as well. And daily shall he be praised. Every day we praise Jesus. We praise Christ. As we gather around this table now, we're praising him for his body and for his blood, for his sacrifice. This is fulfilled, isn't it? We're not praising David daily. We're not praising Solomon daily. We praise Jesus, our King. Our gracious King, our universal King. The King that we gift with all our graces and our substance. For he is worthy. He is worthy. So just a few thoughts on this beautiful, beautiful psalm about the King.